Hello, and welcome to That's Not Normal, a podcast about all those things that make you go, wait, what? I'm your host, Kate, and I am back after a much longer than expected hiatus. For those of you who didn't listen to previous episodes where I mentioned this, I did go back to school, and I finished, and I am now a certified special ed teacher. So I did need to take a little break from true crime, spooky research, but now I am hoping to have more time on my hands and get back to a regular podcast schedule. And what better way to make my return than talking about three of the most notorious haunted objects? We'll travel to Italy to talk about the Bassano vase, then Beverly Hills, California, where the Hands Resist Him painting was displayed, and Key West, Florida, where Robert the Doll has been partaking in acts of mischief for the last 100 years. But before we get all spooked out, first, it's time for Not Normal News. I've only got one piece of Not Normal News today, and the story takes us to Chicago, where an episode of the show Mythbusters resulted in the exoneration of three wrongly accused men. In 1986, a fire broke out in an apartment building on the south side of Chicago. Two people died in the fire, and although another tenant had recently threatened to set the building on fire in revenge for her brother's death, she claimed that it was 18-year-old John Galvin who had purposely started the fire. According to the Innocence Project, the police used intimidation tactics to coerce a false confession from Galvin. Never heard of that happening before. And not to bash police. I think police can be really great, but like in any group of people, there are good and there are bad. Anyways, Galvin was told that he would get the death penalty if he didn't confess, and was told a made-up story that he had thrown a lit cigarette into a puddle of gasoline, which was how he started the fire. Being told that he could go home if he signed a confession, he signed it. Galvin, along with two other young men, were found guilty of arson and first-degree murder, and all three were sentenced to life in prison. After 21 years in prison, Galvin caught an episode of the show Mythbusters, where the host repeatedly attempted to light a puddle of gasoline on fire by throwing a lit cigarette into it. It didn't work. In 2017, Galvin's legal team found witnesses who backed up his alibi that he was at his grandmother's house that night, people who had been coerced by the same detective, and an arson expert who claimed that what Galvin confessed to was scientifically impossible. In 2022, Galvin, along with the other two men, Arthur Almendarez and Francisco Nanez, were all exonerated and released from prison. Go Mythbusters. And with that, it's on to our main event. Some haunted objects. Our first haunted object takes us to 15th century Italy. Expensive vases have been a staple wedding gift for centuries, so it wasn't odd when a bride-to-be was gifted a silver vase on her wedding day. When the wedding was about to start, the bride, whose name is not known, was nowhere to be found. Her husband-to-be went to search for her and found her dead in her room with the vase clutched in her hands. Some versions of this story say that the woman was found after being attacked by some unknown assailant, and as she was dying, in her last breath, she vowed to get revenge against the person who killed her. After her death, the vase was given to another family member, and soon after, they too were found dead. Not realizing that the vase had anything to do with these tragedies, it was given to another family member. And days later, that member of the family died as well. The family now started to put the pieces together and believed that the vase was cursed. They reached out to a priest for guidance, who instructed them to bury the vase on sacred ground. They followed this advice, and the vase wasn't seen again for another 500 years. This brings us to 1988, when a man, whose name we also don't know, happened to dig up the vase. Inside, he found a note that read, "Beware, this vase brings death." But he decided to completely ignore that warning and instead trotted his ass to the auction house. The vase wasn't super intricate or fancy, but it was very old, and it sold quickly to a local pharmacist for 4 million lira, which would equal about $2,270. 3 months after the purchase, the pharmacist was dead. The vase was then sold to a 37-year-old doctor, and a few months later, he too was dead. The vase started to gain a bad reputation, and few people now had any interest in buying it, except for a collector and archaeologist who loved the vase as an example of high Renaissance work. His family pleaded with him not to buy it, but he did anyway, and 3 months later died of some unknown and mysterious infection. The family of the archaeologist was obviously terrified of this vase, and one of the members of the family threw it out a window. This happened to be witnessed by a police officer who was passing by, and he tried to return the vase to the family and issue them a ticket for disorderly behavior. The family willingly accepted the ticket, but refused to take the vase. They warned him that he better get rid of it quickly before he finds himself dead. The officer attempted to give the vase to a number of different museums, but they had already heard the rumors of the cursed vase, and they all refused to accept it. So the officer put the vase inside of a lead box and buried it in the sacred grounds of a cemetery. The cemetery name is unknown, like a lot of this story, and the vase has not been seen again since. I just hope that no one digs it up in another 500 years. The next haunted object is much more recent and is a painting called The Hands Resist Him, which was created in 1972 by artist William Stoneham. The painting shows a young boy and a hollow-eyed doll standing in front of a glass door. Against the door are pressed the disembodied hands of children, seemingly reaching towards the boy. The artist said of his painting, "When I painted The Hands Resist Him in 1972, I used an old photo of myself at age 5 in a Chicago apartment. The hands are the other lives. The glass door, that thin veil between waking and dreaming. The girl slash doll is the imagined companion or guide through this realm. The painting is creepy to look at, but I actually kind of like it. The stories behind it, though, make it truly scary. Stoneham was under a contract, which paid him just $200 for the painting. And in 1974, it was put on display at the Feingarten Gallery in Beverly Hills, California. The painting was reviewed by an art critic for the Los Angeles Times named Henry Seldes. And it was then purchased by John Marley, who is the guy from The Godfather who woke up next to that horse head. A few years after the sale of the painting, Henry Seldes, the art critic, died, followed by the death of the gallery owner where the painting had been on display. John Marley, the owner of the painting, died in 1984. I did check, and his obituary said that he had died after open heart surgery. No one knew what happened to the painting until it suddenly resurfaced again in 2000 on eBay. The seller was anonymous, and in the listing said that the painting had first been found abandoned behind an old brewery, where an art picker found it and then sold it to these new owners. The listing explained that the owner's four-year-old daughter said that the children in the painting were fighting and would come into her room at night. The family's motion sensor camera seemed to pick up footage of the figures in the painting moving, and claimed that at one point, the wired object the doll is holding transformed into a gun that she pointed at the young boy, which led him to attempt to leave the painting. The seller pleaded for potential buyers to not show the painting to children because it would result in violent illness, screaming, and the sensation of being gripped by some unseen entity. The listing also stated that the sellers would not be held liable for anything that occurred after the purchase of the painting. More than 30,000 people visited the auction page, and after being listed for 30 days, the painting sold to an anonymous buyer in Michigan for $1,025. This person has reportedly been keeping the painting in storage and has refused much higher offers to buy it. I wonder if Zach Bagans has given them an offer. That dude loves haunted shit. Our final haunted object today is Robert the Doll. Robert the Doll is a super creepy looking, life-size doll with a messed up face. He has like no nose and holes in his face. He's currently wearing a sailor outfit and holding a stuffed doll in his hand. The doll was given to Jean Otto in the early 1900s by his family's maid. Jean and Robert had an unhealthy relationship. The family could often hear Jean in his bedroom having conversations in two completely different voices. The Ottos would wake up in the middle of the night to Jean's screaming and find him in his bed surrounded by furniture that had been thrown all around him. Toys would get broken, and mysterious things would happen around the house, and every time, Jean would declare that Robert did it. Jean's parents didn't totally believe this, but they did say that they would sometimes hear Robert's giggling, and people walking by the house reported that they could see a doll inside moving from window to window. visitors to the home said that Robert's facial expressions would change based on the conversations being had in the room. Robert the doll was eventually banished to the attic, where he stayed for many years, until Gene inherited his parents' Key West mansion. At this time, Gene moved Robert to his old bedroom on the second floor of the house. Gene started working as an artist and would spend his days painting with Robert. Gene eventually married a woman named Anne, who absolutely hated Robert the doll. I would too. Why is your grown-ass man of a husband spending so much time with a creepy doll? I would be having some thoughts about that. After Jean's death, Anne put the doll back into the attic in a cedar chest. After her death, the doll was found and eventually put on display at the East Martello Museum in Key West, Florida. As soon as Robert arrived at the museum, the staff there started reporting some strange happenings. Robert is said to send misfortune to anyone who insults him. If you take a picture with him without first asking for his permission, you will likely find yourself cursed. People began writing letters to this doll, asking him for advice or to put a curse on people who have done them wrong. Some letters ask for his forgiveness and to remove any curses he previously placed. Visitors at the museum are known to leave gifts for Robert, some of which have included candy, money, and even joints. Yep, that kind of joint. Which, I just don't really understand why. So, what are my thoughts, you ask? You didn't, but I'm the one with the microphone, so here they are. I'm not really buying the whole Bassano vase one, to be honest. It's fun to believe, but all of the people were unnamed, which I can understand in the 1400s part of it all. But the story ended in 1988. And there was that police officer, allegedly, who wrote that disorderly behavior ticket. I feel like there would be a record of that. The hands-resistant painting, I'm unsure about. I think you're not supposed to look at the painting or even images of it, but obviously I did. And it's creepy. I can see that painting having some bad juju or some sinisterness behind it. And then Robert the doll, I think what really gets me with that one is that Gene took him out of the attic and then spent so much time with this life-size doll. Like, it's not like a baby doll, it's a big doll. And he, like, just wanted to hang out with it when he was an adult. And even if Robert the doll isn't haunted, there's still something creepy about that in my mind. So, I don't know. Really haunted, not really haunted, but good stories nonetheless. And with that, I guess that's all for this episode of That's Not Normal. And what is normal anyways? Whatever it is, it's not, I don't know, like, do what you want to do, but it's not taking your life-size doll out of the attic and just hanging with it all the time as a grown adult person. Right? And if you like what you're listening to, please be sure to rate, review, and subscribe on whatever podcast app you are listening on. You can find me on Instagram at That's Not Normal a Podcast. Facebook, I think, is the same. You can shoot me an email at thatsnotnormalapodcast@gmail.com. And seriously, those ratings, especially on Apple Podcasts, really help me out. And if you leave one, I'll probably read it on here. And you'll feel cool. And so will I. But mostly, thanks for listening.